Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey there. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to make sure that you've grabbed our free wedding planning resources that I made specifically to help guide you through the overwhelming details of planning a wedding. Head over to planningcollective.com/free-guides and sign up for totally free resources on expensive wedding planning mistakes, the first four things every engaged couple needs to do, a full backyard wedding or unique venue wedding planner, and our pre-wedding worksheets that every couple needs. All four of these downloads are currently available, and we're working on some more fun and, of course, free resources coming your way soon. Again, you can find all of them at planningcollective.com under the free guides tab. See you there. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. In the last couple of weeks, we've been covering the early stages of wedding planning, and today we're going to chat about wedding design and how to find your wedding inspiration. As a reminder, if you're just finding this as your first episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast, I really encourage you to listen to the last few episodes first, where I discussed the first four things to do after getting engaged, what you need to know before touring venues, and hiring your wedding vendors. Make sure you start there before getting into some of this more fun and pretty stuff. When we talk about your wedding design, we're referring to the tangible or visible elements that create a cohesive look or feel. Before we get too far into it, I want to stop and just say that it is okay to not care about your wedding design. While it's really important to some, remember your priorities that we talked about in the previous episode. If flowers and decor are super low on your priority list, it may not make sense to dedicate a lot of time or money to the elements we're going to discuss here. If that's the case for you, use the items that are included at your venue and focus on the details that are the most important to you. When it comes to wedding design, many compare it to interior design, and I think that can be easier for some to understand, as we've all likely attempted to make a house or apartment feel like your own home and not that of whoever was there before you. You start with the actual building structure as a base and add in the functional items you need, like furniture, appliances, and fixtures. Next, you add in some practical things that you want, but maybe don't need, like TVs, shelving, and a fresh coat of paint on the walls. Finally, you can bring in the things that may not serve any other purpose other than making you smile and feel more at home, like pictures, artwork, and rugs. Whether it serves a functional purpose or is there purely for looks, each of these items you choose to bring into your home contributes to the vision, vibe, or design of your home, and the same is true for your wedding. The place that I like to start is by asking couples what three words they would want guests to use to describe their wedding after the fact. Maybe it's more than three, but start listing some inspirational descriptors that you'd like your guests to feel from your wedding. Some examples could be elegant, fun, unique, classic, creative, whimsical, casual, or trendy. We're going to use these words as we move on to learn how it all starts to come together. While the design of your wedding can be incorporated into every detail along the way, most couples will focus on the flowers, linen, and other rental items that you may need. When it comes to all of the design elements, I like to break them down into three categories. The first category will include the items that you need for functional reasons, but can also play a huge role in the design of the event. These are going to include things like your chairs, tables, linens, china, flatware, invitations, and seating charts or place cards. We'll refer to these items as your functional design elements. The second category we call design essentials. And these are going to be the items that may not have a functional purpose, but are present in just about every wedding and therefore something that most couples will want to include in their design. These items include all of your floral items like your bouquets, centerpieces, ceremony decor, specialty linens, and table numbers. Again, you may not need these items, but combined with your functional design elements, these details are essential when creating a cohesive wedding design. And the third and final category will be your optional design elements, which include the things that may be common at weddings, but their absence will likely not be noticed. However, incorporating them into your wedding design can make a huge difference should you decide to include them. These items include charger plates, lounge furniture, lighting, and signage for various areas of the wedding. When you think of wedding design, think of it as a process of layering the different elements. The base will be your venue or venues, and this is why it's important to remember this while looking into the different venue options. As you're looking at different spaces, ask yourself if it will work with or against your design or theme. Once you have the venue locked in, you can work on adding in the next layer with the functional design elements, followed by the design essentials, and then top things off with the optional design elements. You can find a comprehensive list of all of the design elements you may want to consider at planningcollective.com. Remember, though, that there are few couples that will incorporate everything you're going to see on this list, so don't feel like you need something just because you see it listed. If you're on a tight budget, make the functional design elements that you must have work with you, and you'll be off to a great start. Now that we've reviewed the components of wedding design, creating a mood board is the best way to visualize the details that you would like to use for your wedding. This is a way to collect all of your inspiration images in one place to help you see how it will all come together. The original mood board method was to collect wedding magazines, rip out the inspirational images you like, and glue them onto a poster board. And while I'm sure there are some that still use this method, thankfully computers and the internet have made this process much easier. The most common way couples create mood boards these days is via Pinterest, but you can use a blank document and insert images. Or if you're one of our clients, you'll have access to the design studio in Aisle Planner. If you are using Pinterest, make sure you listen to episode 77 for more tips on things to look out for while you're scrolling through that app. Whatever method you prefer, the components of a mood board are going to be the same. You'll want to start by defining your color palette, which can be as simple as two colors, or more commonly now, we're seeing a series of four or five colors that complement each other. If you're unsure where to start with this, you can go back to those descriptive words that you listed out and head over to Google Images or Pinterest for help. Go ahead and use those descriptor words that you wrote down, like whimsical wedding color palette or elegant green wedding color palette, and this will give you a ton of images to get started with and hopefully help you find the perfect combination for your wedding. Unfortunately, this is one of those areas where you're going to see there's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer, and you're just going to have to make decisions based on your preferences. If you found that you've fallen in love with several different color palettes, keep in mind your venue and the time of year, which might help narrow it down to one or two. Once you have your color palette, it's time to start finding images that inspire the other components. I recommend you organize your mood board into a few main categories to help keep you organized, but not so many categories that it becomes difficult for you to keep track of things. For example, rather than having boards for chairs, centerpieces, and linens separately, I would recommend keeping those together in a reception decor board. Here's a list of the different main boards I recommend, and some items you'll most likely include in them. Venues, pretty straightforward. You'll include pictures of venues that are inspirational for you. Your vendors, don't forget to follow potential vendors on Pinterest so you can see more examples of their work or their products. Attire, include images of gowns, suits, tuxes, bridesmaids' dresses, outfits for showers, and other events like the rehearsal dinner, bachelorette party, and so on. Beauty, would include possible hair and makeup styles, nail designs, and skincare routines. Ceremony, you can include decor, images, as well as inspiration for your vows. Reception, of course, would be all of the design details, along with any entertainment ideas or other interactive things that you might want to incorporate. And finally, boards for stationery products, your food or cake, and honeymoon ideas. Now that you know what you want your wedding to look like, how do you bring it all together? If this leaves you feeling lost, don't stress. Many couples struggle with how this all happens, but let's walk through it now. Once you have your venue locked in, you'll need to take inventory of what decor items they have available to you, if any, and what you'll need to bring in yourselves. If you're having a backyard wedding, private residence, or you're at a unique space, you'll most likely need to supply all of the items on your own, so you'll be able to choose the look of each along the way. If you're at a more traditional venue, you'll probably have the option to use what we call their house items, meaning their chairs, tables, and linens that are already on site. We discussed this a bit when we talked through traditional venues, but let me share some more details on why asking to see their house items is important while you're touring potential venues. If you're at a venue where you need to bring everything in, you need to budget for the hard, functional items like the tables and chairs. While picking a nicer chair or linen will still have an associated cost to it, a portion of that cost is necessary anyway, since they don't have chairs for you on site. At a traditional venue that includes these hard items, you'll already be paying for them in the cost for the space, whether you use them or not. So if you want that nicer chair or linen, it's all technically an unnecessary cost. I'm not saying that it's wrong to rent chairs when the venue provides them. I just want to make sure that you have room in your budget if this is going to be a deal breaker. Most traditional venues have a very banquet-style chair, and some can look very corporate and don't feel like they have wedding vibes to them. So make sure that you take a look at any of these items that are included, especially if you're picky about what they look like. And again, if design isn't a huge priority, take advantage of what's included and move on to the things that are truly important to you. Okay, now that you have your inventory list of what you're going to need, where do these items come from? If you're having a backyard wedding or if you're at a unique venue, your next step is going to be to connect with the caterer and rental companies. Catering and rental companies are most likely going to be your biggest cost, so get these set before working through the rest of your vendors. Some full-service catering companies can take care of many, if not all, of your rental items. You can share with them what you're looking for, and they can help source it for you. Alternatively, you can reach out to tent and rental companies separately, which will help you avoid any upcharges that might be applied from the caterer. Traditional and unique venue couples, if you're looking to bring in some bigger rental items like tables, chairs, draping, etc., ask if they have required or preferred vendors that you need to use. It's not uncommon for historical sites or venues that have challenging logistics to require that you work with companies that are from their list. They want to make sure that they have reputable companies coming in that are familiar with their space and rules and won't cause any damage during the load-in and load-out process. Once you have your main rental items figured out, the next step in your design journey is going to be to find a florist. Outside of the rental items, the florist will most likely be providing a majority of the decor details. Definitely share your mood board with them, and they can help guide you through how to make it work with your venue. If you're still on the fence about some rental items, you can definitely talk to your florist to get their thoughts. Many florists can also provide these rental items, which will help save you on delivery and pickup charges. Okay, that was a lot of info, but now I want to hear from you. Head over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook community and share your mood board with us there. And make sure you're subscribed to this podcast because we have a fun announcement coming within the next week. And as always, if you found this episode helpful, please take a quick second to rate and review. It would mean the world to me and it will help other couples find the wedding planning help they need. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.